Yesterday, upon the stair, I met a man who wasn't there.
Hello? Can you find me?
He wasn't there again today. I wish he'd go away.
I'm behind you. I'm right behind you.
Last night I saw upon the stair a little man who wasn't there.
Don't be scared. I just want to play a game with you.
He wasn't there again today. Oh, how I wish he'd go away.
Hey, hey there, pod people. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Whispers, a Through the Abyss podcast production. I'm your co-host, Mandy. And finally, we've got our other co-host, Benjamin,
hey,
on
everybody.
For once.
Yeah, I made it.
He's always Mr. trying to get his PhD, so he's never available for these anymore.
Well, I think you purposely scheduled them all when you know I have the most happening.
No,
which is probably for the best, because I tend to have my foot in my mouth more than anything else.
So. But that's something I love, so why would I try to schedule around that, you know?
Fair.
So today's show, we have got Laura Ann, Larry, and BJ from the Bluegrass Ghost Chasers. How you doing, guys?
Doing well. How are you?
Hello, great.
Everybody.
Super.
Well. Thank you, guys.
Hi, everybody.
Thanks so much for coming on and talking with us today.
Our pleasure. Thanks for having us.
So I'm just going to jump right in here. Before we even get into all the intros and things like that, we were talking offline just a minute ago with Laura Ann and Larry. I want to hear this foot fetish story. I can't wait any longer.
Oh, you missed it. Larry just had to say. So the way.
Sorry, Laura Ann.
No, you're fine. So. Oh, goodness gracious, where to start? So Larry claims I was putting on makeup one evening to go to an investigation because a young gentleman was coming that was on the, he was a videographer that was coming to video our hunt. That really wasn't the case, but, you know, I'll let Larry say it was.
I didn't claim when I walked by your car, you was putting on makeup. So that's the truth.
But I usually do for an investigation, which is so wrong because we all know it's just going to come off, you know?
Yeah.
So I was doing my normal. But anyway, this young man was coming to video, and this young man, when I'm in my 50s, guys, this happened, I'm sure, when I was in my late 40s, wasn't it? A couple years ago, 3 years ago. And this young man was what, 20?
Yeah, he was a young dude.
And he had a crush. And like, he was like, when I walked in, or when he walked in, I was already there. When he walked in, he came over and hugged me and was like really intimate. And I just been talking to the guy.
And he wanted to see her feet. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was
no way.
But yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like he just straight out asked to see the feet.
Oh, wow. No, this was over a conversation, but I had mentioned it to Larry and to BJ. So when we got there and he showed up, Larry, while he was walking down the aisle of the location we were at, Larry takes his shoes off, takes his socks off, and is like, dun, dun. Dun, dun. Like that into the poor boy, and the poor boy just goes, oh my god,
he pulls his socks off and he's swinging it above him.
He is.
Guess my feet weren't good enough for him.
Ever.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I will never live that down. Never. Afterwards they tied socks to the doors of the hotel we were staying in and all kinds of stuff. So it's the thing that's gonna follow me to my grave. It'll probably be on my gravestone. Somebody,
oh my god,
about it.
That is amazing. Did anybody get that on camera? Nobody got that on camera.
No, I was surprised. And I was laughing so hard at Larry for doing it. Oh, I couldn't breathe. I couldn't
all
see.
Just,
I was crying.
Yeah, it all just happened.
Well, I was supposed to film for us. That's why we didn't have any cameras ready. But oh my god. And I said, Laura, if you go before me, I got a pair of socks that I'm going to be putting in your.
Oh my god, that is probably one of the best stories I've ever heard.
I have a question about the makeup in general. Like, even if you guys are recording, right, isn't like 90% of it like black and white with like the glassy eyes and you can't see makeup?
See where I'm coming from, Ben. Yeah. She was getting ready to go over here because she knew the guy was filming. In the car. Well, yeah. Yeah, she's going to town. So.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. I love it. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
We go out. It's
go
not
ahead, BJ.
Especially when we get together for little things like this, it helps to have somebody that's a little mentally challenged. It makes it fun.
Girl, aren't we all a little mentally challenged though for what we do and what we love to do? So I'll admit it. Yeah.
You know how they say, like, you when you're around your friends, one of them in the bunch is crazy.
Oh yeah.
So if it's not you or you, then it's you.
Exactly.
It's me.
It's Laura. Yep, for sure.
Oh, I love it. Well, tell us a little bit about your team, Bluegrass Ghost Chasers. I love that name, by the way.
Yeah, it's cool.
Thank you. Larry?
Go ahead, BJ. It's your team.
Well, I have a wonderful group. Right now, we're a small group. We've had some people move on. Not pass on, but move on. One thing I like to pride myself on, we're a mixed pot. We've unfortunately come up with a case that, I have a mixing pot of all different religions, all different walks of life.
Sure.
And welcome them all. There is no, there's no prejudice in my group, period.
Mm-hmm.
And I pride myself on that. I like my team, not just to be a team, but family.
Yeah, yeah.
The one that has something going on, we can go to Warner. And when we go out, we have a good time. It's not just we're there to do a job and then, have that, oh, God, it's a job attitude. We go to have a good time and get the job done, and then we go home. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this personally for the public since 2000.
Oh, wow.
Now, I've done it before then, but officially for the public, I started in 2000. I started with Tim Wise. Now he was with me up until 2012, and we had opened the group up to the public, and been going strong ever since. I mean, yeah, we do have spots where, and I hate the coin phrase, but it's been dead. And we have meetings to keep in touch with each other, let what's going on and stuff. But other than that, we've had a lot of interesting cases. Before Larry and Laura came along, I've done a couple of cases, a couple demonic one. After a about 6 months after a murder, the woman wanted me and Tim to come and make sure her daughter wasn't in the house anymore. We've had some interesting cases.
Yeah, I understand that. We have to. Well, Laura, how did you get involved with everything?
Well, my Laura best friend. Ann, sorry. Oh, you're fine. My best friend who has passed on a few years ago. Oh, no problem. We just started watching. When Ghost Hunters first came out, that's how long it was. When Ghost Hunters first came out, we were watching it. We were really interested in that type of thing. Nothing paranormal really ever happened to me personally. It did my father when he was younger. But I was just really interested in it and finding out, unexplained things and with things. But really, honestly, when I watched the show, I thought it was just entertainment.
Okay? Yeah.
And then one of my friends, after my best friend passed, said, Laura, there's a place we can go. You pay $99 and you can go and you can investigate. You can stay the night. They feed you dinner, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that really happens? And she said, yeah. So we went, and that was almost 7 years ago. And I was hooked. I loved it. I was like, oh, I've got to do this. I've got to find out more. I've got to get, got to get some proof of things that are unexplained going on and try to figure out what they are. This is awesome. And then how can I use this to help people? Mm-hmm. So then she and I were looking around. She had found BJ's team, our team, Bluegrass Ghost Chasers team. And we talked to them. We loved what they stood for. And we both joined, and I've been there ever since. What I loved about the team too was not only have they been around for over 20 years, but We also, our main focus, of course, is residential. We never charge anything. We're here to help people and the community involvement. With COVID, we haven't been as community involved as we want to, right?
Yeah.
But the community involvement, just being out there and letting people know we're here to help. I think the team has, we cleaned up cemeteries before. We've been in parades when they allow us. There's still pushback, right? We are in UW too. So, but that's the reason. And I've been there ever since. I'm addicted.
Nice.
All right. Larry, how about you?
One other thing we do, I was just talking about the cemetery cleanup. During Christmas, I pick a family, and it's not necessarily in Frankfort. It could be anywhere. The one I picked this past year was in Somerset.
Oh.
And I load up toys and stuff, and also food. Because toys and everything are nice, but, that Christmas dinner. And where I've had my knee replacement, before me and Tim would get all this stuff together and box it up and get it on the porch and ring the doorbell and just run. Well, now, since I've had to have a knee replacement, I can't run like that anymore. So I get somebody to put it on their porch and stuff and just knock on the door. And, I sit back and watch and make sure everything gets delivered. And then, no, I don't want any recognition. I don't want any mention. Just that somebody had helped them. That's it. Aww. That's all.
That's lovely.
But I like to do community stuff. I know with the cemetery, every now and then the city of Frankfort will reach out to me with kids that had got in trouble and had to do community service. And they'll reach out to me and say, can you do this? And, I'll send them out there and find a lot of stuff for them to do and then sign off on their paper before, So it goes
through the
service. So
that's very cool.
But it's not just about ghost hunting. It is about ghost hunting, but I like to do the community stuff too, to let them know, we're more than just that.
Yeah. I like that. We did privates for a while and it just wasn't,
they get the most dicey. I respect you guys for being able to go to that many privates, because we've definitely been somewhere like it just feels a little denser than it does in a big place that lots of people travel through all the time. And
we had a really bad one, and I think that was actually the last one we did, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of really, really messed us up for quite a while. So we kind of stepped back from that, but yeah, I got to give you major props for continuing to do it, because it is not easy.
It's like that proverbial box of chocolates. You never put
your yes.
Exactly.
And a few of them have nuts in them.
And it's rarely really chocolate.
Yeah.
And it's when people, when we go in and, our first thing is to give them reasons, right? Give them peace of mind, give them reasons for what's going on when we find them, do a true investigation and not just go in thinking everything's paranormal, right?
Right,
and,
exactly.
But when we do that, we're like, oh, it was this or oh, it was that. Majority of people nowadays are like, they don't want that peace of mind. They want it to be paranormal. So they don't want it at the end of the day.
They don't want to listen to you on how to fix things, because that's the big thing. Because I can come in, I can do a cleansing or whatever, but ultimately it's your house, so you have to take responsibility for it and take charge of it. A lot of people don't like that,
All I can do is cleanse it, but they're responsible afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Larry, how'd you get involved in this crazy hobby we have?
I was born like October 30th. So,
nice.
And the house I grew up in Illinois had activity, nothing really scary or anything. So just as time went on my birthday, me and some friends would just go out in the woods or, an abandoned house. At that time, we didn't record or anything. We were just trying to experience stuff. So that's pretty much it. I think I started actually doing investigations in 2000, about the same time as BJ did.
Okay.
And, started pretty much, me and some friends were just going out to some places, asking people to investigate, and I joined a group in Georgia after I moved there and was with them. I still do stuff with them, but our major stuff was residentials also.
Oh, okay. I've
probably done over 100 with them.
Wow.
Myself, some with BJ and them, but I moved to Kentucky for work, met BJ in Laura at Scarefest here in Lexington. And
okay.
It's been a great relationship since.
Well, that's fantastic. Yep. You guys always get a booth at Scarefest?
We have been. We didn't last year, though.
You guys going to do this year? I'm thinking about getting one for our podcast.
I'm thinking about it. Last year, I had neck surgery and then had some other stuff that went on, and I wasn't able to move stuff around, like, you know, lifting, pulling and stuff. And if you've ever been to one of those kind, you know, especially with what we do.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff we do to generate money is t-shirts, which I cut in t-shirts.
Oh, wow.
That generates money for the group, and packing and pulling. And I just wasn't able to do that.
Well, I can understand that after having neck surgery. Yeah, that's probably better. You didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Better check the booth prices. I heard they went up to like $500, depending, I think.
They were expensive to start with. It's ridiculous.
Well, I think the venue is charging more. So, of course, they got to raise prices to keep making money.
I wonder if they would take a carton for a booth price.
What?
A carton of eggs for a booth price.
Oh my God. Getting close to value.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I mean, they're fun, but I went to Horror Hound, I think it was last year, because they had the Scream people, which I'm a huge fan of the Scream movies. And a friend of mine's actually, Nev Campbell's actually her sister-in-law. So I thought, okay, I'm finally going to meet this chick. Well, I've actually met her once, but I wanted to give her a card to see if I can convince her to come on our podcast and talk about some stuff. But I got there, you know, I think like an hour before the doors were supposed to open, and there was already a huge line. So I'm thinking, oh, that's just the people who, you know, got the VIP stuff or whatever. So I ended up getting in line. I was kind of way back. This place was they sold so many damn tickets that by the time I made my way to where Nev and Elden were, I wasn't even allowed to get in her line because there were so many people. So the only reason I went there was to meet her, and I didn't get to see her at all. I was so pissed.
Yeah.
I think that's a little bit getting too greedy, or, you know, if you're going to have that many people, get a bigger venue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
drives me crazy. But a lot of people, one thing I did want to mention is I like the fact that you had talked about, BJ, how you have like a melting pot of different religions. I think that's very important, especially for people who do residences, because you don't know what kind of beliefs these people have. And it's great to have a knowledge of different things when you're going in, so you can legitimately be able to answer these people's questions and maybe stay on point as far as what they believe and how you kind of go in and handle an investigation. So I really like that fact about you guys.
I agree, because you say, okay, for instance, you got somebody that's a Christian faith. Mm-hmm. Sending somebody that's pagan in to help maybe clean their house. Well, you know, the Christian doesn't believe what this pagan believes in, and the pagan doesn't believe in what the Christian believes in.
Right.
And that's good. Don't get me wrong. That's good. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I don't know, putting, you know, it's not going to work. It's not going to, if they can't, I mean, there's got to be that belief shared between them.
Exactly.
Or it work. And that's why I have different, you know, like I said, the melting pot. Plus, for one, I don't hold anybody's religion against, you know, if you want to, whatever you believe in, that's wonderful. As long, you know, just believe in something. And, you know, but that's, I'm not going to hold mine against you and try to shove mine down your throat, because that, just don't do that. I'm sorry, you don't do that. But this, well, case, she's shared your religion. Will you go help her? You know, stuff like that. And it's usually, I'm not going to say usually, it is successful when it works.
Yeah, really, I agree. Yeah, we have a lot of different faiths, you know, with the group that Ben and I used to be in. And it does help, you know, and we don't push each other's religions down each other's throat. Like, Ben and I are very opposite on a lot of things that we believe in. That's fine. I think we've gotten into a little tiff every now and again, but, you know, everybody has their own journey. So,
friends.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
There's nothing negative there.
You got to have them conversations, though.
Yeah.
You got to listen to what other people believe to advance in this field. If you're just going to be mindset on what you believe, you're not going to advance. You're not going to be able to help anybody. You're just going to be stuck there.
Yeah,
right. There will be no growth, none at all.
Right, yeah, right, exactly.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. Now, as far as equipment, because every team I've talked to, it's kind of been the same. The older we get, the longer we've been doing this. What do you guys particularly like to use?
We have a variety. I like using old school stuff, basic old school beginner stuff. Larry has more, a little more advanced stuff. Laura, she does. She got something different. She brings something different to the table. I built a spirit portal, and I had been going different places thinking, well, maybe this is not working. I couldn't get it to work. We went to Roz during the World's Largest Ghost Hunt. It works, and I'm very proud of it. But I like tinkering with stuff like that. I seen somebody that had a spirit portal, and I thought that looks easy. So I kind of watched and looked at the pieces of equipment, and I went and bought and put it together, and it works. It works.
Do you use like the little speaker and then like the reverb box and the noise canceler?
You make these fine pedals. They're pedals for electric guitars.
Yeah,
Easy.
and it's so
And
much cheaper than spending that. I think he's like up to $5,000 to get one of those portals. I'm like, that's ridiculous. I can
that's
spend 300 to make it
crazy.
myself.
You're looking, if you had somebody build you one, you're looking at $5,000 or up.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous the stuff that we get charged for now.
I'll just stay with my spirit box.
Now,
It works
mine,
for me.
with everything that I bought, I think maybe right at 300.
Yeah.
That's because you buy a piece here, buy a piece there, don't buy cheap, don't buy expensive. But after I got everything together, I'd say I'm right close to $300.
Yeah,
And
I think that's about what I did too. And it does work. It really does.
I, for some reason, I can be sitting next to my friend Christy. She's been on vacations, on investigations with us, and I will catch an EVP that she won't. So I am, my favorite tool is just the overcorder.
Girl, me
I
too.
love it. I love catching EVPs, and I've caught some awesome ones, and yeah, that's my go-to. I love everything else, don't get me wrong, but my favorite is my recorder. Goes with me everywhere.
You know, all those, all, there's so many cool things that you can use and play with. And we have this huge DVR system that we used to set up everywhere. And we actually rented out, we rented out Mansfield last year before last, I think. And I don't think any of us used a camera at all. We had our digital recorders. We were using ourselves. And I had the best time. It was so nice not to set all that crap up. And then have a camera to carry all over that damn place because there's a lot of stairs in that place. So,
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
I.
90% of your
Man.
good evidence is audio anyway.
It's so damn difficult to get a good picture of anything paranormal. They're so tricky like that.
I think that the
They're
best thing
rare.
about not lugging around all the cameras is you don't have to wear makeup.
Yeah.
All right now,
Yeah,
Benjamin. All right now.
good one, Ben. I like that.
Nice.
Love it. Love
Oh, and
it.
I think the best piece of equipment you can have is yourself, is your body. But you know, if you're making a video, that doesn't, it's not as fun,
I
but
think your body is the best piece you can have as far as detecting things, as far as proving it to someone else when you leave.
Exactly.
Comparable.
Not so much,
Yeah. Personal experiences are hard to get people to really believe what your story.
Unless they can physically see you pushed or something like
No.
that, but it doesn't happen
Who's
very often.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I'm glad I'm not pushed all over the place all the time. It would be kind of
Yeah.
eh.
Speaking of the personal experiences, you guys had said obviously different religions trying to relate to people in the best ways possible. Have you ever gone to a residence? I'm sure you had to have since you've done it so frequently, where you just are like, I can't work with this family.
No, actually,
No, wow.
Wow.
we had one that was looking like it was going to happen until a little research was done on them and decided against it because we just didn't. That's one of them, that chocolate box, I believe, but that's just my opinion, not the group's opinion, my opinion.
So you've been able to head it off before you even get into it too deep.
Yeah, because
at the time, that's most of the time,
question. When we talk to them, there's going to be a phone interview first before we send anybody out. So, because I like to get a little bit of a background of what we're going into before we send anybody out.
Oh, yeah, you
I
have
think
to.
That's a good rule of thumb, just because, like, a lot of times there is going to be like mental illness and domestic violence and other things that have nothing to do with paranormal, and then you don't want to be there.
No.
Speaking of that, you have to be very careful going into residential homes now because of that. I mean, just drug abuse. I mean, you could go in there and have that stuff around, and you put yourself in danger as an investigator when you go in.
You can. We actually, three of us in our group, we had our CCW licenses, and when we went to, I carry, you know, and I still carry when I do Mackey's because it's not the best area.
Yeah. We've had one where there was suspected meth. So we had to make sure we were protected as we went into the home because, you know, if you just touch that, it can, you know, affect you. Well, it can be on you. It can affect you at your job if they did random, you know, whatever. So, and that was something I never thought about. I was just like, oh, yeah, let's go help them, da 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 da, you know, not thinking about any of that. And so it's been something that's opened my eyes in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Doing the residential investigations.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy what you may be walking into, you know.
Yeah. Back in the day, we could interview them anything, but I was going regardless just because, you know, you just got to you got to believe what they're telling you. And then it's up to you to go find out if it's true or not or what's going
on.
But now, like Lorraine said, it's, you know, it's hard telling what people are going to do.
You have to be cautious, more cautious now than before.
Yeah, it's really sad. The state of things are now, you know, especially when you're doing things for free and trying to help people, it's just never know what you're walking into. So yeah, I'm glad, Larry, that you carry. So it's a good thing. I'm glad to hear that.
Oh yeah, I thought a couple of us do on the group.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's great.
I don't yet, but I'm planning on it.
Like I said, it's not worry about it's a living.
Well, Kentucky's a constitutional carry state now, but. Yeah. There's some fine lines with that, I think. So I'm
regardless, I'm keeping my CCDW. I'm keeping all that.
I just renewed mine.
Yeah, I've got to do that too, actually, because I don't want to take the chance of, you know, them being cop not knowing what the rules are. And
even if you carry in other states, you still need to have that concealed carry.
Yeah. I feel left out. I think I need to get a water gun filled with holy water or something, just so I have one too.
Hey, that
carry
works.
It in your makeup purse, Lori.
Yeah, that would work.
Oh, that'd be great. You bringing out a water pistol with holy water. I love it. Oh my gosh, that'd be great on film, actually. All right. So, what are some of your favorite fun places that you've done?
St. Albans is. I'm always. That's going to be my favorite place to go.
Albans, what is that?
Oh, that's a old insane asylum in Radford, Virginia.
Oh, wow.
It's ridiculously haunted. We've had so many experiences there. Yeah, it's awesome. It's probably I'd go there every year if I could.
Do you have any good EVPs from it?
Oh yeah, I might have to share some with you. I think I still got them on my computer and stuff. But,
oh, that would be great. Yeah, send them to me and I'll add them.
All kinds.
I'll give you full credit.
I don't need full credit. But it's just a great place. BJ and Lorraine's been there too. It's a huge place.
I love insane asylums. I love them.
But it's a great place. It really is.
Yeah.
I think for me, my favorite place is, I love St. Albans, don't get me wrong.
You say Roz Opera House, I'm gonna come over and choke.
Well, Roz is because it's my home. It's the first place that I investigated, and aww, I do love Roz. And the people that own Roz are amazing.
So, yeah, I love him. Yeah.
But it's not actually my most favorite place to go. My most favorite place to go, there's two of them. The first one is the Thomas House in Red Boiling Springs, Tennessee.
Yeah.
I have a lot of evidence. Most of the evidence I've ever caught is from there.
Wow,
and the
really?
Second one, and the second one is a place called the Newberry House, and that is in Rugby, Tennessee. It is a place, it's in an old Victorian village that was built just every home that's built there and shop or anything in this little village has to be by certain Victorian standards. And this particular home was built a while back, and beautiful little cottage, but has some activity. And so that's my second favorite. But my first is the Thomas House.
Yeah, definitely. Rugby Tennessee is that Georgia group I was with got called in, and they wanted us to investigate not every house in the town, but the library and certain ones. So we spent the whole night walking around different houses and stuff. And
oh wow,
the Mayberry House we actually stayed in, and it was pretty active. So it was nice.
So the whole town is haunted.
They claim it is. I haven't had the chance, like Larry has, to verify that. But it's just a quaint little place. It's down
it's
near,
nice. Yeah, it's awesome.
It's really cute. They do things like I forgot what it's called. Oh my gosh! But it's a bowling that they do in the street. But it's so, you know,
wow,
like in the street. Yeah, it's just cute little things that they do. But add on to that the paranormal part of it.
Yeah,
it's a good little place to go to.
It's not that far away from Lexington, so, or I'm not sure where you're from, but it's
really
it's close to Brushy Mountain
Penitentiary
in that area. So yeah, it's a nice little town. You gotta check it out.
I would actually, because I've never heard of Rugby, Tennessee, and I'm from Tennessee, so I've never heard of that little town.
And if you haven't been to the Thomas House, make sure you go. But a lot of people have been there. But it's amazing. Yeah. I mean, it really is. It's gone through several different owners. A cult owned it at one time.
A cult?
In fact, and so it's a bed and breakfast now. And some of the rooms, we don't know which ones, under the carpet, still have some of the occultic symbols and stuff that they had drawn on the floors. They believe that there's like a portal in there in the kitchen area. Either way, whether there is or isn't, that is, and there's an abandoned church across the street that has fallen. I think it's fallen down enough where it's probably unsafe to be in now, but before we could access it, and between the church and the bed and breakfast itself, there's just been a lot of activity. The most activity that I've caught, or most evidence that I've caught, was at that location.
Wow. Some good EVPs too.
Okay.
Like class A ones.
Yes, wow. Definitely. Yeah, I had caught they had a haunted doll special where some people brought in some dolls one time.
Yeah.
And I usually don't believe in that stuff as much. You know, I just, you know, I'm skeptical. So, but it was interesting because the person that brought the dolls, we were doing an EVP session. She walked over to the dolls and said, it's okay to say hi. When I'm listening to my recorder, I have my headphones, one earphone off, one earphone on, listening so I can hear it. I heard it with my ear and through my recorder, a little girl say something. And everybody heard it because everybody reacted. They're like, what was that? What was that?
I heard you say peanut butter.
One time I was with an investigator. I'll share this one real quick. We were at the church. It was just him and I. It's an abandoned church. There's no electric or anything. Mm-hmm. Nothing's happening. We're not really, you know, getting any responses or anything. So we go back over, you know, and start listening to our recorders and things. And as I'm listening to the recorder, he mentions, hey, I just saw a light over there. And I'm like, where, by the door? And he said, no, towards the middle. And at the end, loud whisper, clear as day, don't need to put it on speaker or anything, said, turn the light on.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it class A all the way. So, I mean, it's amazing.
Nice. Hey, Lorianne, I want you to know that when you first started talking, I wasn't laughing at you. Mandy is terrified of dolls. So as soon as you're talking about the haunted dolls, I'm like, Mandy's cringing.
I'm going to be honest. When you said she started walking over there, I thought you were talking about the doll and I was about to lose my shit. So, yeah, I
haven't seen that yet. No.
Ooh, Lord, dolls. No. Mm-mm. I don't even play with those. I don't care if they're haunted or not. No, thank you on that. Oh, God.
Leave quick.
Yes.
Or if if I've never seen them turn their head or anything, and some people, that would freak me out too, man.
I would
so
die.
You're not alone. Yeah, you're not alone.
I would pass out right there on the spot.
That would be an exit for me.
Me too.
I don't care.
You can talk to me all day. Just don't move anything.
Yeah. I don't want to. I'll leave my recorder by you, and then you can shout messages to me if you want from way across the room. Fine with that. Oh Lord, BJ, what are some of your favorite places?
The what?
What are some of your places that you've been to, like for fun investigations?
Well, the pick one in particular, I'd say the best is yet to come, but one of the places I kind of like it is Waverly Hills. I won't go back there and kill its back in its rightful owner's hands. I can't get into that because there's a legal matter. But,
yeah. We all know, yeah.
I used to help with the tours and the overnights up there.
Oh, okay.
Where I live in Frankfort, I would just stay the weekend up there and I would sleep in the building. I would sleep in the morgue or in the...
Oh, bathroom. Man.
When everybody was out of the building.
You slept in the morgue? Are you nuts?
In the middle body tray, pushed back.
Wow. So you're not the team scaredy cat.
Apparently not.
It never bothered me to be in that building like it. And being back in there, because I told him, I said, anybody's got to pee, I'm in here and I'm asleep. Just grab my foot or something. And usually I would just lay there and listen. And
to him peeing?
It's really, I mean, it is really haunted. He's laying there, you can hear the elevator coming down the shaft. And
what? The
there ain't no elevator in there. Ain't been one in there since 81.
Wow.
Here,
oh, God.
Wow. And that time I'd raise up, waiting. That door going to open. What's going to come out?
Oh, my God. That was my initiation into one of my friends' groups in the very, very beginning. I had to lay on the body slab in the morgue, fully pushed in by myself. No. I lasted 10 minutes. I was pretty impressed with myself. They're like, you got to take your socks off. I'm like, I'm not taking my socks off.
You must have had that same guy Lorraine was liking.
Well, I guess that's supposedly right. they're supposed to tickle your feet. I'm like, they can tickle my feet with my socks on. That's fine.
So. Yeah, that's weird.
Right.
Like I said, the only time I would, you know, I would lay, like I said, on the body tray or on the autopsy table. And I said, if y'all got to pee, come in here. I'm just going to be chilling. Or after everybody left, I would go down into the laundry room. That's the room you go in before you go into the building.
Oh, and yeah. Okay.
Chairs up and put my little pallet there, and I would sleep there. Charlie let me sleep there because I knew I didn't want to have to drive all the way back to Frankfort and come back. And as soon as I got everything locked down, get good and comfortable, a chair would fly out from underneath the table. It was kind of like, and I keep thinking I'd left somebody in the building because that door would just shake violently. And
oh,
I'd get
God.
Up, crap. So I'd run over there, wasn't nobody there. And I said, well, okay. So I lay back down and stuff. And then it does it again. I get up and I slam that door open. I said, well, I can't say what I said. I can't let you leave. Stop it. I said, I'm trying to get some sleep. And it slammed the door and locked again. Nothing else for the rest of the day until that night.
Oh, Lord, girl. You're braver than I am.
But yeah. That stuff, I mean, it just, I guess where I grew up with it. I've experienced it all my life. It's to the point, it's got to be something really bad. Make me, you know, dolls. If a doll was to move, like I said, I am 57 years old. I will keep it. Stuff like that. It's got to be pretty. It's got to be bad.
I don't like sleeping in haunted places myself. I don't want to be bothered. After I investigate, I want to go rest. So that's the way I feel. I'm not scared of it. I'd hate to be bothered all night. You know, you got to sleep.
I can sleep through anything, so they can try to bother me all they want to.
That's what I'm afraid of. I'm a heavy sleeper too, so I'm like, what if they're messing with me while I'm sleeping on a wake up?
Yeah, drawing mustaches on your forehead or something.
That would be cool.
No, it wouldn't. That would suck.
It's definitely when you know when you're there and you're quiet and trying to doze off. That's when the fun starts.
Well, yeah, because it's just you, so they don't have to. They're not worried about, you know, people aren't asking them to play, so now they want to. You know, it's like that at Mackey's too, or waiting on my tours or whatever, right after they leave, that's when they start getting really active. I'm like,
did you say
done this 20 minutes ago?
Mackey's? Bobby
yeah.
Mackey's?
Yeah, I'm one of the tour guides there.
Oh, wow, man. That place is awesome.
Oh, yeah?
Out of the paranormal, we had a lot of stuff that happened when we went up there. It was before Laura and Larry came, but my biggest, I was so impressed with that safe. That safe, they said an F5 tornado couldn't take it out.
And I
got hammered with that safe. I thought, I need that in my life.
Oh, Buck Brady safe. Yeah, I would love to have that too. But boy, oh, Lord. If he wanted to take that out, he would have to knock that room down to get that thing out.
Yep. I was in awe of that thing. I was
really? There's actually a female spirit who likes to, I'm assuming she may have been one of the cashiers from like the old Latin Quarter days when it was used to be a casino.
Mm-hmm.
But she hangs out in there, and I've gotten multiple EVPs of, you know, her telling people to get out, not like menacingly, just like, well, this is where the money is, so you don't need to be here.
We passed through there years ago. I was still living in Georgia, and we went to look at Bob. We was heading to Saddamsville Rectory.
Oh gosh, yes. Love that place.
But we stopped in there and was just looking around, and someone was in there saying, "Well, come in." So we got going there for an hour. But we picked up EVPs in the women's bathroom. I mean, who is that? I mean, what's going on with that woman's bathroom?
Was it a female or a male?
Yes, a female.
I'm not sure. People have claimed to feel like they're being watched in the women's bathroom. The male bathroom has apparently a more aggressive spirit. I don't know. Like, we don't know who these people are. The only one I'm for sure is Carl's still there. Carl Lawson, the caretaker, he's still there. We've gotten some EVPs of what sounds like his voice. And also we've got a picture of, I mean, it just looks like him. So, but it's not surprising that he's still there, because there's something. I don't think he's ever going to leave. I really don't know.
I can't believe I've never tried to set up an investigation yet. It's only like an hour from here, but I'm going to have to. I've never really. I don't know.
And I work in Covington. I live in Georgetown and work in Covington. Yeah. And I've been there before. I did their tour. Just their tour, you know.
Okay.
But I've heard back and forth like 50 and 50-50. Oh, there's nothing there. And then people like you say, yeah, there are. You know, and I know people. The spirits react to different people, right?
Yeah, and that's
so
what I
just
think.
Haven't made it a priority to go. But hearing you and talk about it, I'm definitely gonna have to set up something.
You need to go and experience for yourself. That's the only way you can, you know, you can have your own side of the story.
Well, and we like with our tours, we cater them to what the people want. Like, if you want to come in and do, you know, get the history, and like most people do like half history of the place and half investigation, which is fine. Some people don't want to investigate at all because they're afraid, which is fine. And then other people just want to investigate. That's fine too. I have no problem opening the door, getting you signed in, and turning you loose for a little while, you know, because they're usually like 2 hour tours that we do. So we're very open to that. But if you guys come up and do a tour, you better ask for me. For me.
Oh, yeah.
I'll make it special for you.
I like going in blind, like I said, without knowing anything, and just see what we can get.
Well,
rather than, you know, fishing for
that's the great thing about that place, because you don't know who's going to, like, the basement. It's the same entities. The basement, there's no portal in the basement. I will say that. There's no portal to hell, nothing like that.
Thank you.
There are, however, at least two portals upstairs. So we kind of consider that.
Yeah.
We kind of consider it like a way station, like they just come and go as they please. So you never know who you're going to be interacting with up on the main floor. And there are no demons there. I don't care what anybody says. There's never been any satanic ritual held there. Pearl Bryant's head was not thrown down the well.
Well, see, now that's why I would like to go in and just see what I can capture. Of course, I know the stories, portal hell, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
I want to see personally and or with the group what we can capture, what kind of names we can come up with, because I don't know all the names. Like, maybe Mandy, you do. I don't know if you've been there, Benjamin, but
I've done tours there as well. In the past.
To me, that's the fun part.
I would say for that place, like Laura Ann was saying, more than anything, like, and like you're saying, Larry, like going in blind is a good idea, because that place has so many stories connected to it that do have some truth, but there's so many stories connected to it that are
The popular ones are the ones that are out there that are not true.
Right. And a lot of times people, after they've heard everything, will go in and they're starting to bring up names that you're hearing from, like, these popular stories, where it's like, realistically, historically, those people weren't really connected with that building.
Right.
Or don't exist.
Or don't exist. Yeah.
See, yeah. That's the fun part of investigating, is just trying to figure out for yourself what's happened. And then talk to people who's been there, see if you can collaborate what you get with what they've got, or what they actually know about the place.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Anytime, just get in touch with me. Let me know. And I'll set something up for you guys, and we'll have a,
I'll get in touch with you now.
That'd be awesome.
That's what we got.
Well, let's talk when we're offline. And
yeah, that sounds good. We need to set something up for sure.
Absolutely. I'd be more than happy to do that. I do love that place. I'm very drawn to it.
Mandy, are you and Benjamin, are y'all on the same team, or just doing the podcast together?
Well, Ben actually
lives in
California.
The same team. I now live in California, so it's hard to participate.
Yeah, but we yeah, did I have so. We were with Gatekeeper Paranormal. I used to be a founder of Gatekeeper Paranormal, and then we split up, and we actually blame Bobby Mackey's for that because there's something that
There's a lot of team fighting, and we don't fight outside of that place and are good now. So it was just kind of odd.
Yes, but we split off with four of us split off and formed Revenant Quest Paranormal Society with my cousin Kim. She was one of our co-founders. She actually recently just passed in July from cancer. So because of that, I miss her a lot. Because of that, we disbanded Revenant Quest. I just couldn't be in it without her here.
Right.
So basically anything paranormal wise, it's through our podcast. We advertise through our podcast. And then of course I'm with Gatekeeper helping them do their thing. So it's kind of a joint thing. So then I guess, you can say we have a team. We just can't investigate together. So unfortunately, awesome. I'm hoping he'll move closer one day when he gets his PhD.
Mm-hmm. It'll be a while.
That's all right. What's that?
Ben, what are you PhD-ing in?
Oh, clinical psychology.
Oh, that's cool. Perfect for you, BJ.
Cool. That's really good for
this. Yeah, he's going to make a great asset to our podcast, too, because we also do true crime. So we focus on the psychology of these crazy people. I shouldn't say crazy. These people. That
Mandy, bringing that up, BJ and I went to... a residence that was empty. It was an empty residence where a murder had taken place, true crime murder, near us here in Lexington. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing the rage that you could feel at this home. And I'm like a rock. I usually don't sense anything.
Wow.
Really. And I could feel the heaviness and the rage in this home.
Wow. Were you able to get any like audio of anything?
We did hear him stomping with our ears and caught it on recorder. What else was it, BJ? BJ ended up taking care of him.
Oh.
I sealed him in the house.
Oh, okay.
For eternity for what he done. That's pretty good. But tell her the other, what happened beforehand.
Oh, one of my friend Christy, who is on our team, she was joining us for this investigation. Mm-hmm. She herself, for no reason at all, like you guys were saying, like Bobby Mackey's caused tension and fighting.
Yeah.
This one caused her to feel like she wanted to shoot BJ.
No. Oh my God.
What happened was she wanted to fight me.
Fight.
If she jumped at me, I would have shot her.
Oh shit. Was that what happened? Like, was it like a gunshot murder or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Man.
He was an ex-boyfriend. Sorry, BJ, you want to tell it?
No, you go ahead.
He was an ex-boyfriend who the woman had left 6 months prior. And he came in, actually, the person that called us in, first of all, was the daughter that was in the house that day. This is the first time she'd stepped back in the home since this all happened. I think she said she was 10 around that age. But when he came in, the current boyfriend was outside. And the man came in, he shot at him and a cousin that was outside, shot at this teenager that was in the living room, but she escaped out the back before he got to her. Then he went up the stairs. He saw the daughter and told her, "And you need to leave now. I don't want you to see what I'm going to do to your mother."
Oh my God.
And when he did that, she did. She left. And as she got to the bottom step, if I'm correct, of the porch there, she heard the shots and he had shot her mom. He shot her through the door and then went, opened the door and shot her again. And it took a while. He ended up shooting himself, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
He didn't leave the home. He shot himself there in the home. And so it was pretty violent.
That's the stuff that Ben and I like to talk about, because it's just so mind-blowing to think that people get to these states. But that you kind of bring up a good point that I like to point out frequently, is that what we do is fun. Like, we're addicted to it because, you know, having a paranormal experience is incredible. It's amazing. But it can also be dangerous. You know, you don't know what kind of situation you're walking into, especially with what you guys do, especially because it's... I think that's one of the reasons also we stopped, because you just never know. Because the last case we worked, it wasn't a demon, but it was an elemental. But there was also like Native American curses on the land. Oh. We brought in multiple like light workers. We brought in a shaman. The shaman wouldn't even go in the house. This place is so bad. But people don't really understand that you can actually get hurt, not just physically, but psychically, emotionally.
Yeah, you know, mentally. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Or bring it home.
I'm not real concerned about bringing stuff home because it's there for a reason. It probably don't want to leave that spot. I mean, it happens. I've known people that say it's happened. I think I've had something follow me home from Savannah, but for the most part, I think it's where it wants to be. It's doing what it wants to do in that spot.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to get rid of it. You're not getting rid of it.
No, they're thousands of years old. They're stuck there. They ain't going anywhere.
No, they're happy where they're
at.
Have you heard of bass web?
Huh? What is it?
Have you ever heard of bass web?
No. What is it?
No, it's him. It's a him.
Oh.
That guy killed that girl in Cynthia Ann, and then they found out he's killed others. You have never heard that one?
No, but I'm interested.
Google that girl. Google that one.
Are you saying like bass, like Bass, and then web?
Web.
Bass web.
What a name.
That's the murder house that we, 6 months after it happened, that we investigated. We never picked up a female voice in there, but we got a strong male voice. He's still alive. He's in Fayette County prison or wherever they got him at now. I know Tim. It was just me and Tim at the time. And as we were going up the driveway, because the woman had called and didn't have enough time to do any kind of research on her. She was just begging. They're getting ready to knock the house down. I know my daughter's still in there. Please, I'm begging you, please come. And I thought, why not? I mean, they said she'd been murdered. We never thought nothing of it. And we're getting up there and all of this tape across the door and police tape and stuff that they pulled down and put in a big black barrel. And I know Tim looks over at me. He said, "What the hell have you got us into?"
We went in. Oh my gosh.
Where he cut the girl's head off.
Oh, and my all the God.
Carpet. And he wrote in her name, he wrote something on the wall, and the police cut the wall out, and there was blood, brown everywhere where he had just, I guess, had a field day with her.
Man.
Her two children were asleep just right upstairs. He didn't bother them. After he killed her, he stole her Jeep and went to Fayette County and tried to run over a sheriff and a pretrial officer. And they arrested him, and he's been there ever since. And most of the time when you see pictures of him, he reminds you of that Hannibal Lecter, because they had to put a thing over his face where he tries to spit on everybody. He's crazy.
God.
And come to find out, there's two others that he's killed too.
Wow.
That was pretty, it was lively, but it was a male's voice we were picking up.
What about anybody from Anzaroth?
But sometimes, even if it is female, it can come across as a male, though, because, you know, they lose stuff after, you know, that ability.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, and some of it's on the website. I've got a couple of them on the website. It was intense.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
One thing with the one that BJ and I did that I was talking about, the one that had so much violence and everything in Lexington, one good thing about that was, like I said, the daughter had not, there was two daughters, but the one that contacted us, she had not been back in the home since it happened. And BJ was able to get closure with both daughters, where they believe that they, tell BJ that didn't you get them in contact with the mom?
Yeah, she's happy. She was happy. She'd moved on. Aww. It was okay. And she wanted them to be okay. But cause he wasn't demonic. He was just a bad person.
Right. Yeah.
I couldn't move on, but that would have been too good for him. I sealed him in the house until the end of days.
Okay.
Hell.
Wow.
Because he's stuck there. He can never do nothing. He can't do nothing. He can't harm anybody. He's stuck in that house watching time go on.
Wow.
And I think that's pretty good hell for me.
Yeah, for sure. You guys had talked about like the density and the heaviness that you feel in a place where a tragedy like that has occurred. Do you think that that's all perpetuated by the spirit themselves, or do you think that sometimes emotional things are so extreme that they actually imprint where they occur?
I think that a lot. I think it's a combination, me personally, of both, or could be, because I'm very open-minded, right? We're all trying to study and find out what's going on. Personally, I believe it could be both, depending on the situation. But like you said, that traumatic energy that is produced by something like that, you know what I mean? Making that imprint or leaving it there. I really truly believe that happens a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
I have a memory, and it can absorb energy. Mm-hmm. Have you ever, all right, say you walk into your childhood home, do you still feel the energy from days gone by?
Yeah, I actually drove past mine probably 20 years after I'd lived there, and
yeah,
felt all the negative times, all the positive times, everything all at once. Yes.
And a house can hold energy and it can hold memory.
Yep. Absolutely.
And something as traumatic is, and that's traumatic. I believe the house absorbed it. It's there. I mean, you could feel it. It was just, it was bad. And when he would go to manifest a noise or anything, it was like a lead weight in the air. I mean, you could just feel the energy just turn into a lead weight, especially when it was like we were watching the steps and it was coming up those steps. And he sounded like he had some big old boot clumpers on too.
Mm-mm-mm. I'm a big person and I was sitting at the top of those steps. we're talking about dolls and we run. If I would have felt that energy coming, you would have seen this girl gone. It wouldn't have taken any time of seconds. I'd been outside.
Lord's face turned pale. Do you hear that?
Larry, have you had any bad experiences where it's just been so negative? You're like, I can't deal with this.
No.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I'm different from BJ, I guess. I've never dealt with anything demonic or really negative.
Okay.
All these years. No, I mean, of course, there's been some, like, some of the stuff we caught was, you know, some really mean guy or something, but never nothing that we felt uncomfortable with.
Wow.
Yeah.
I hope it stays that way for you because it sucks when you run across it.
I feel like Larry's more you, Mandy, and I'm more BJ because it's like Mandy's always like, nothing's demonic. There are bad people, but there's no, and I'm like, demons are real.
I agree,
demons are real,
that.
But I don't think everything that happens.
No.
Is demonic just because the case with that guy murdering his wife, that is rage. That is like a very strong emotion that's going to stay in that house. And anybody living in there and feeling that or, you know, being harassed by that guy, it'd be easy for him to say it's demonic. Just even with all the shows, it kind of pushes everybody that way.
That's why you got to have a little bit more open-minded as far as that goes. Because I do believe in demonic entities. It's just, it is very rare for you to come across one in a dwelling because demons are more focused on a person as opposed to a residence or a place or something. So you're not going to go in, you know, if you're experiencing a demonic entity, somebody brought it in with them.
Yeah. I think demons generally work more from the inside out than the outside in anyways.
Yes. Yes. I agree. I've never dealt with them, but I read up on the stuff just in case.
Yeah.
I do run it. I can be kind of prepared. Yeah.
It is sometimes hard to distinguish the two, but you have to remember, always look for the normal before the paranormal. And you can pretty look at somebody and do a little research on that. That's a bad person. That is a really dark, bad person.
Yeah.
And then you have the ones that, well, I know the last one we done, that was, there was a demonic entity there for the baby. That's the one that got the worst of it. But some of the stuff we've seen that had done to the baby, there wasn't no human done that. There wasn't no human done that.
That's a shame. That's sad.
But, you know, like I was telling them, you know, some people say, oh, well, you got rid of them. No. I have assisted with that.
Right.
I've done it personally. After what I've seen, it's hard to get rid of a demonic entity.
Mm-hmm.
And they can always find their way back. And, you know, they don't forget. they'll never forget your.
Yeah.
So, it's, you have to sit there. You got to be of two minds when it comes up to something like that. Because, you know, like I said, you got your really, really bad people that want, you know, that kill, like, you know, serial killers and stuff like that. And then you got things that haven't never walked this earth that are visiting and going after.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, you know, like I was saying a second ago, it's rare to come across a demonic entity. It really is. So,
and I agree with you.
Yeah, it's you know, just because they're dead. I mean, they were humans, not demons, but they were, you know, spirits for humans once. So if they were a jerk here, they may be a jerk, you know, while they're dead. You know, they can lie too. That's what other people don't understand. You know, just because they say their name is Johanna, in my experience, doesn't mean it really is. You can just be playing into your little fantasy of what you're coming in wanting.
I know. And we've done a lot of investigations where they hear little kids and he's like, it might not be a little kid. It could be a demon. I was like, but you know what? We need to investigate to see what's there to begin with. Of course, always protect yourself before you go in, just in case. Yeah. But, you know, I get an EVP says, get out. Laura Ann says, get out. And she's like, oh, man, they just told me get out. And to me, it's like, you know, this ghost is here. It's been living here. They're just saying, just get out of my house.
Yeah. Not,
get out. You know, kind of stuff. Right, just like, hey,
get out of else.
My space. Get out. You know, just get out of my house. So I guess it's all in your interpretation of your EVPs.
Yeah.
Between the investigator and then the homeowner.
Yeah, that's fair. Get out could be more like a please leave.
Right. Yeah. You know, someone, if someone comes into your house while you're sitting there doing your thing, you're just like, hey, get out.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. And it's like, it is like in life, you know, you've heard that saying where no matter how nice you are to somebody, your souls could just clash. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Same thing. These souls have just moved on. So, you know, if we're dealing with spirits that have moved on and they may just clash with you. So like when you're doing your EVPs, say they want you to get out, maybe just the person they're talking to, maybe everybody, maybe just the person they're talking to, and like how they will respond to one, but they won't respond to another. Right. You know, it carries on. You know, I find that more and more true as we're investigating.
I agree wholeheartedly with that.
Roz, I had something tell me to get out.
Oh, really? And
I started talking to everybody else. Mm. So,
well, you should have took that personally.
I did. Mad. They wanted me to leave, so I left.
Aw, well, that wasn't very nice. I do like that place. It's a fun place.
It's fun it's fun to teach people to do EVPs there because of the acoustics. Then I'm run that recorder and say, okay, can you distinguish between this one that was talking down here to this one right here and a ghost talking? Because like I said, it's got some really good acoustics in there. It really does.
And the bars around it, it's hard. Perfect, there's a lot of
perfect place to teach
activity.
Well, guys, I have had such a blast chatting with you today. I love talking to you. I can't talk right now. I love talking to you and getting to know you guys. And I hope you'll come on again sometime with some more stories that you've collected.
Oh, let us know. But we haven't even topped the tip of the iceberg yet. So
that's why I love it. 20 years. I can't wait. I'm sure you've got an arsenal. So, yeah, I definitely would love to have you guys back on sometime.
We'd love to come back on. Thank you all.
You're very welcome.
Contact you about an investigation at Bobby Mackey's.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, by the way, how do people get in contact with you guys?
They can reach us through our Facebook page, Bluegrass Ghost Chasers, or they can reach us through bluegrassghostchasers.net or bluegrassghostchasers.com. I bought both of them.
And I do want to let you guys, I do want to let you guys know also that there is a similar team, so make sure to let everybody, it is Bluegrass Ghost Chasers, not Bluegrass Ghost Hunters. We're right beside each other in locality, and our names are very similar. So we are different.
I will put all your links and stuff on in the description box here. All right, guys. Well, y'all have a fantastic day. Thank you so much.
Thank
and I look
you guys
forward
for
to
having
you.
Us, guys.
Thank you.
Stay on though.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Paranormal Whispers, a Through the Abyss podcast production.